How do you do? A wise person once said, "We make our choices, and then our choices turn around and make us." And that was very apparent in the life of the man in this story. For many years, he lived with gusto without considering the consequences, destructive though they were. What a change of direction was set in motion for him, his family, and many others, the day on which his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Listen to them sitting out there getting all tanked up.
And then he comes home and takes it out on us. You're gonna lock Dad out?
Well, I'm sick and tired of this every night.
Oh, he'll go nuts, Mom.
I don't care. Maybe this will make him think.
Oh, he's coming.
Who locked the door?
Don't open it, Billy.
Open up or I'll break the door down.
I'm getting out of here, Mom.
Look what you've done to the door.
What do you think you're doing? Locking me out.
Oh, calm down, Bill.
I'll teach you to lock me out.
Bill, stop him. We'll never get that beer off the ceiling.
You don't like it on the ceiling? Maybe you want some on you.
Oh, stop it!
Sharing the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled. Dramatized and produced before a live audience in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. When you're cold and hungry, and it's late, but you have nowhere to sleep, the lights of Pacific Garden Mission are a beautiful sight. Thanks to financial gifts from friends and listeners, homeless people have a place to stay in downtown Chicago. They have nourishing meals, a change of clothes, and for many, a change of heart at the old lighthouse. Some stay for a day, some seize the opportunity to learn new ways and stay for a year or more. They leave with new attitudes and discipline, shedding old fears and shame. Having heard and believing the truth that sets them free, their lives are never the same. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2683 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The man in this story was a 6-foot blonde-haired policeman who worked in the Queens precinct of New York City. He drank hard, but headed the police athletic league with 10 ball teams, volunteered his time with the Campfire Girls, and helped underprivileged children. Yet he had serious problems with himself and his family. And this is the story of how that changed. The true story of William Wilmerton, right now on Unshackled.
My father, Bill Wilmerton, had a narrow escape as a baby when a gas explosion blew him out of the crib. When he was 6, his father deserted the family, so his mother moved to New York City to work as a nurse, leaving her 2 sons in the care of their grandmother. Bill was raised in a strong, Bible-believing church where his uncle was pastor and where he met Helen. By the time he was 22 and she was 20, they were in love.
I was real worried about you, Bill, riding off on that motorcycle in a snowstorm.
It was cold, but the farther south I got, the warmer it was.
I missed you.
I missed you too, Helen. I couldn't wait to come back to see you.
I didn't know how much I loved you until you were gone.
Let's get married, honey.
Oh, you know my parents won't sign for us. They're dead set against our getting married.
Well, my family's in favor of it. You're a wonderful girl.
Oh, my folks won't change their mind.
Well, let's elope then.
You mean it?
You bet I do.
All right. I'll pack my bags and tell Mom I'm spending the night at a friend's house.
After they eloped in 1931, rumors spread in the church that they had to get married. Oh, they were so angry, they both quit going to church. Bill tried one job after another, but finally found his niche on the police force, 5 years after he and Helen were married. 3 years later, in 1939, their first child was born, a son. Then came 3 daughters over the next 9 years. I was the last one, and I have wonderful memories of Dad taking us to the beach.
Any more of that chicken soup left?
Oh, no, Bill. The kids finished the last of it.
Oh. Well, we should head back. The wind's picking up.
Yeah, that's enough sun for one day anyway.
Well, start gathering the stuff up, Helen. It's a sandstorm.
Well, you better get the girls out of the water.
Claire, hold on to that umbrella.
Hurry, Bill. The waves are really pounding.
Dad had to rescue my sister Jean and me from the surf that day. He was always a hero to me. Not only did he rescue me, he also investigated suicides and responded when a mother was giving birth in a car. He took us on rides in the country to buy fruit and vegetables. When the weather was hot, he'd hose down all the kids on the street with water as we squealed with delight. One day, Billy and Claire had experienced a different side of his character.
Oh! 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 Oh!
You better learn to obey me. That boy's body is still on the train tracks. It could have been either of you.
Bill, please stop. That's enough.
I told him never to go near those train tracks, Helen. They could be killed, just like that boy's lying there now. We live too close to the tracks to have them disobey me. Boy, that makes me mad. Don't you ever do that again, you hear?
As the oldest, my brother had more than his share of welts from that razor strap. He also remembers Dad abusing Mom. But I mostly have memories of Dad's enthusiasm for life, the games he played, and the block parties he organized.
Hey, Billy, look what I got. Take us to the big game tomorrow. You want to go?
No, thanks. See you later.
What's with him?
He's becoming a teenager, Bill. Hopefully he'll change in a few years.
I don't know what it is with him. I can't talk to him anymore.
He'll grow out of it.
Well, I gotta change and go and get a keg for the party tonight.
Well, there they are. Another Saturday night on the front stoop.
At least he stays home to drink, Billy.
And then there was a time I was guarding the joint where my buddies were inside gambling, and we got busted. Oh, yeah.
Cops, busting cops.
You better believe it. We didn't go to jail, but we sure got chewed out.
Yeah,
I don't
sure
do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. You don't drink much either, Bill.
I could drink any man in the precinct under the table, and I'm proud of it. But my family's too important to jeopardize my career. I had a chance to be a detective, yeah, but I turned it down. Takes away from the family too much.
Not enough to suit me.
Oh, Billy, your dad loves you. He just had such a hard life as a boy that he doesn't always express his love.
Yeah, well, he treats strangers better than he treats me. He never liked me, Mom. You don't use a razor strap on someone you love.
Shh, they'll hear you.
I don't care. I don't need him.
Being 9 years younger than my brother, I was unaware of his anger and estrangement. I loved Dad and my brother. Then just before Mother's Day in 1950, Grandmother died. Oh, Mom took it very hard. For the first time in 20 years, she went to church. Not only did she attend service, but that Sunday she actually gave her life to Christ. Dad was not pleased.
What did you go and do that for?
My mom was saved, so she's with the Lord now. I knew I'd never see her again unless I was saved, too.
I suppose you'll be wanting to go to church now.
Yeah, I will. I hope you'll go with me.
No, I won't be going, and don't expect me to take you.
I can take the bus.
From then on, Mom took us kids with her to church. Within 2 years, my older sister professed faith in Christ. Meanwhile, Dad's macho lifestyle of heavy drinking began taking a toll. He gave up smoking, but had ulcers, bursitis, and migraine headaches. He developed serious fainting spells. Then he became so depressed he was suicidal, and they took action at work.
They took my gun away and stuck me in a desk job.
Oh, Bill.
After all my years of hard work.
Well, they're just trying to give you a break.
Oh, don't be simple-minded. They wanted me to get treatment.
What kind of treatment?
Oh, what do you think? A shrink. He's more crazy than me. And they think he'll help me.
Give it a try, honey.
I need a drink, that's what.
Mom tried to make Dad happy so he wouldn't interfere with our going to church, which he hindered in any way he could. Sometimes he deliberately stayed home until nearly church time, but as soon as he left, Mom hurried us out the door. When he came home, we often had to walk past Dad and his drinking buddies on the front steps.
Well, look who's back, the Wilmington Angels.
Excuse us, we need to get through.
Well, don't let us stop you.
Hey, sing us a hymn, Helen. Make us want to be converted.
Yeah. Did you pray for us?
I always pray for you. Let's pray for your father before you go to bed. Perhaps someday God will save him. Come on, get on your knees before he comes home.
Okay.
Dear Lord, we are so grateful that you chose us for salvation and gave us the privilege of praying for the ones we love. Father, hear our prayers. Save my husband, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Save my daddy.
Nothing is impossible with you, Lord. Touch his heart. Open his blind eyes.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, help us be good witnesses, to walk in a way that pleases you. Help us to forgive when we're hurt. Teach us to love others as you love, unconditionally.
Yes, Lord.
Put that child to bed. Stop all this noise in the middle of the night.
Hear our prayers, Lord. Please save him.
I won't have this God business, you understand?
Bill!
You hear me? I won't have it!
Mom and my sister Claire kept praying fervently for Dad's salvation. My brother, meanwhile, had withdrawn even more. He stayed in his room much of the time, slept late, and rarely went with us on family outings. He worked part-time even while he was in school, but I didn't realize that Dad kept most of my brother's earnings. A crisis was brewing in our home.
We'll hear more about that shortly. Unshackled is translated into Arabic and broadcast throughout the Middle East, where there are many misconceptions about Christ and the Bible. Here are excerpts of letters from listeners there. This man in Saudi Arabia writes, "I love Unshackled. Keep up the good work." From Yemen, this man writes, "Unshackled is my only window to the world. All my knowledge about God comes from hearing your program." An Egyptian man writes, "I went to prison because of drugs. My wife asked me to listen to Unshackled, and God opened my heart to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord." And this Lebanese man writes, "I saw the buildings fall in New York and have seen many buildings crumble here. I learned to put my faith and trust in the unchanging Lord Jesus Christ." To learn more about this ministry to Muslims or to have Unshackled broadcast in Arabic in your area, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Hey, Billy, look what I have for you.
What is it?
A stamp collection. One of my friends gave it to me.
Well, I don't know anything about stamps.
Well, that's how you learn, by collecting them. Now, careful how you touch them. Use tweezers, he said. You interested?
I guess.
Are you interested in anything?
Look, I work, don't I? Even though you take most of my money.
Well, we need it to help pay the bills around here. Besides, why shouldn't you kick in? Life's not a free ride.
Well, tell him I said thanks.
Stamp collecting and photography gave Dad and my brother some common ground, but their relationship was still strained. Dad was very ill. The police surgeon advised him to retire since there was nothing more they could do. Having grown up in the church, he knew God would help him, but he didn't want to give up drinking. Then my older sister went to camp one summer, and she asked the camp evangelist to visit Dad. The next Saturday, he appeared at our door.
I came to speak with Mr. Wilmington.
Oh, yes. Come in. Would you like some refreshments?
Oh, no, thank you. I'd like to spend a few minutes with your husband.
Oh, Bill, someone here to see you.
Yeah? Who is it?
Yeah, hello, Mr. Wilmington. I spoke at your daughter's camp last week, and she asked me to come here and speak with you. I live over in Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's a long way from us.
Yeah.
Well, come on back here. We can talk privately.
Mom was surprised that Dad was willing to listen, but the two of them talked for a long time. The same thing happened the next Saturday and the next.
Look, why don't you go to church tomorrow with your family, Bill? They're having revival meetings this week.
I told you already, I quit going years ago because I don't want people judging me. They're no better than I am.
Well, you're right about that. God says we're all sinners. There's none righteous. No, not one.
God lost interest in me a long time ago, with good reason.
You're wrong about that, Bill. If you'd been the only man on earth, Jesus still would have gone to the cross for your sins. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. Look what he says here in Luke chapter 15. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Isn't that a beautiful picture, Bill? God goes after the lost one. He doesn't leave us to die alone.
I've had to rescue a few people in my day. I pulled some guy out of the surf one day when I was still a teenager. Saved his life.
Well, and you know how God feels. He's not willing that any should perish. Listen to what follows when God finds a lost sheep. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Jesus came not only to save us, but to carry us home.
That's a beautiful picture, all right.
God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die in our place, to pay the penalty for our sins. Because the penalty for sin is death.
I've seen a lot of death in my day, too.
I'm sure you have, Bill, and no one should die without Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 warns us, And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Oh, you're just full of good news.
Yeah, that's a bad news. The good news is what Jesus said. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Oh, man, this is giving me a headache.
You need the Lord, Bill.
Okay, look, I'll go to church if you'll just leave me alone.
Claire, tell Billy to hurry. We're ready to leave.
Well, I think I'll go to church this morning.
Oh, that's nice, Bill. What a surprise.
Well, you tell that evangelist to leave me alone or I won't ever go back again.
Oh, I'll tell him, dear.
I hope the church doesn't fall down. It's been 24 years.
God was working in Dad's heart. After supper, when Mom had devotions, Dad asked for a Bible and read along with us. Then he wanted to go to church that night. Mom was so excited she went out the door still wearing her apron. Back home that night, Dad was very quiet. Years later, I learned that before he climbed into bed, he prayed.
God, if you're really interested in me, I want you to make it plain to me during the service tomorrow night. I just need to know for sure that it's you, Lord. Then I'll give my life to you and serve you as hard as I serve the devil.
Monday night came, and Dad went to church with us again. My older sister Claire woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to find Mom in the kitchen all aglow.
Claire, your dad got saved tonight.
Really? Mom, that's incredible.
Oh, it was so amazing. As the evangelist stood up, someone quoted Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The evangelist told us that we should wait on God, so he invited us all to kneel and pray.
Wow.
I tapped Bill on the knee and said, Bill, why don't you get down and pray? And down he went, weeping and weeping. It was quiet for nearly an hour as people all around prayed.
God answered our prayers, Mom. He answered our prayers.
My dad was 46 years old that night when he received the Lord. I also received the Lord as my Savior a few months later. The next day, he had to face the men at work in the precinct. He went straight to the captain's office.
Oh, what's up, Bill?
Captain, I want you to be the first to know. Last night I went to church and gave my life to Christ. I'm a Christian now.
Well, that's great. Good. I'm glad for you, Bill.
I've had to eat pureed foods for a long time. Baby food.
Yeah, I know.
Well, last night after the service, I went out and had a hot pastrami sandwich. I believe God healed me, too.
Dad was ridiculed for his decision, but his life was forever changed. He quit drinking and had devotions with us every night, trying to make up for lost time. He got rid of the television and started attending Bible school in the evening. His desire for ministry led him to retire from the police department and attend Bible school full time. He worked evenings at my uncle's gas station, sleeping only 4 hours a night. When my brother graduated from high school, he began attending the same Bible school. Then one day, Dad carelessly accused him of attending Bible college to dodge the draft, which made Billy angry.
You think I'm a draft dodger? I'll show you that you're wrong. I quit school. I'm going to join the military.
That's kind of a waste, isn't it? You're halfway through school.
Huh.
Besides, you can't join the military unless I sign for you. Get a job in the area and help us. We need the money or we'll lose the house. My pension isn't enough to cover expenses.
Yeah, well, that isn't my problem.
Well, surely you can help for a while.
At 19, my brother lost heart and enlisted in the Air Force. He was hurt and angry by my dad's evaluation of him. Everyone went with them to the train station but me. I watched them leave, then I went to my room and cried my heart out. Soon after that, Dad sold our home and moved the family to Maine to begin a ministry. My brother visited only once during the 5 difficult years we spent there.
How do you stand living here, Mom? It's 20 and 30 below zero in the winter.
It's been very hard, but God keeps providing. Your dad is excited about the way God is working in the lives of the people here.
Dad should never have brought you and my sisters here.
Oh, God has used him to help these people, Billy. You wouldn't believe how many town drunks have been saved, how many families are off welfare. When we first got here, we had to drive around and get people and take them to church. But most of them have cars now. Your father taught the men to be lumberjacks. He bought chainsaws, a truck, a team of horses.
Yeah, and he also put you deeply in debt.
Yes, but that's because he doesn't have time to take an outside job.
Oh, I'm sure he's very proud of his accomplishments.
Billy, why don't you stay for the Bible study tonight, son? See what a good teacher your father is.
I can't, Mom. Duty calls.
Dad pastored in Maine for 5 years. Unfortunately, his spiritual growth adversely influenced some of his financial decisions at the time, so we incurred immense personal debts for our basic needs. Finally, Dad had to seek secular employment to pay them off.
Hello?
Billy, it's Dad. Listen, we've run up a lot of debts here, and I need to come back to Long Island and get a job so I can pay off the debts. Can you help?
I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Well, can you get me a job where you work?
Well, I'll see if I can arrange an interview.
We moved back to Long Island, where Dad worked for a year, paid his debts, then pioneered a church in Sandusky, Ohio. During his 4th year as pastor, he began to withdraw into depression. An elder in the church encouraged him to get a medical checkup, and it turned out Dad had diabetes. Medication restored him to normalcy. After several more pastorates, he and Mom spent happy years teaching at a Bible school in the Ozarks. But his relationship with my brother was still a source of sorrow.
Oh, I didn't realize you were sitting out here, Bill.
Oh, I've been thinking about things, Helen. Composing a letter to our son.
What prompted that?
I've tried talking with him a few times, but we just don't communicate very well. The last time he was here, we went for a walk, and I asked him to forgive me for whatever I did to him.
What did he say?
He said, "I don't remember anything, just forget it." I don't think he expressed his true feelings.
Well, then give him time.
I've been pondering that plaque we have on the wall by the door.
Oh, from the book of Joshua.
Yes. choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Oh, you certainly are serving the Lord, Bill. You were so different before you were saved. We both were. Sometimes we can't rectify the damage that we made in the lives of others, but we can pray and ask God to do it for us.
How will I feel when I stand before the Lord knowing that I failed Billy as a father?
You didn't know the Lord when he was growing up, Bill. God knows that, and he forgives.
I did so many things that were wrong. Even after my salvation, it's taken years to soften my exterior. I must write and ask Billy's forgiveness.
Dad wrote that letter, but he died the following year. What a powerful lesson for parents to remember, that our words can permanently impact the lives of our children. Dad served the Lord to the end. Jesus truly changed his life, and he will do the same for anyone.
Listening friend, God is greater than our failures. He can heal any brokenness when we turn to him in repentance, asking forgiveness through Christ. If you hold bitterness for some wrong done in the past, pray with us right now. Father God, I confess my sin and ask your forgiveness because Jesus paid the penalty for the wrongs done to me and the wrongs I have committed. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Give me a new heart filled with your Spirit, and help me live for you and for you alone. Thank you, God, for this free gift of salvation. In your name I pray. Amen. And my friend, if you need to counsel or you need prayer for this or any other matter, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Please visit our website, www.unshackled.org. And our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you'll take a moment to thank the manager of this station for including us in their programming. And please remember to tell your friends about Unshackled. This is program number 2683, heard in the true story of William Wilberton, where Tony Marcus, Helen Cutting, Judith Easton, James Snyder, Anna Marie Alvarez, Don Stroop, and John Martin Zemke. Original music, Don Badorf, sound, Nicoloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. If you've never written to tell us you listen, we'd love to hear from you. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.